Welcome to the Easter edition of the Regional News for the 16th of April 2017. This broadcast is brought to you by VK7WI and read today by Alvin, that's me, VK7ADQ. This broadcast utilises repeaters around VK7 and the following HF rebroadcast stations. On 3.570 MHz by Ross, VK7ALH. On 7.140 MHz by Peter, VK7TPE. On 14.130 MHz by Gary, VK7JGD. And on 28.525 MHz by Tony, VK7VKT. This broadcast is repeated on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7RTC and VK7RAK in the south, VK7RAA in the north, and VK7RTV and VK7RDR in the northwest. VK7 Microwave News. 10 GHz contacts. On Saturday, April 8, Peter, VK7PD, set up a surveyor's tripod supporting a 600mm dish antenna connected to a Kahn transverter and Down East microwave linear amplifier using an FT817 as the tunable IF. The site chosen was adjacent to the Bellarive Yacht Club. This was because it afforded a clear view of Tolman's Hill, the QTH of Rex, VK7MO. The signal received from Rex was so strong that it drove the S-meter off scale, but that received from VK7PD was barely audible. Upon visiting Rex shortly after the event, it was decided that as Peter's transverter was not GPS locked, Rex might have been tuned to the wrong frequency, so it was decided to try again from a slightly further away place at Techno Park. This yielded similar results. A second visit to Rex's QTH and a power meter check revealed that Peter's transverter was producing very low output. It turned out that attempting to repair a soldered connection to an SMA socket, he had bridged a strip line coupling, brackets red face. With renewed confidence, Rex suggested making the next attempt from an elevated point near a Launceston. Consultation with Joe, VK7JG, decided the spot, the top end of Everton's Lane at White Hills. So, on Thursday, April 13, Joe and Peter set up the station in a farm gateway. Photos can be seen on the NTARC Yahoo site and VK7 Amateur Radio Facebook page. Liaison contacts were made with Rex over the VK7RAA and VK7RAF network, and Rex first transmitted a tone for a dish alignment, then gave a call using SSB. This came in at S9 with slight QSB. Rex reported receiving at S5 with some QSB. Not bad for a distance of 155 kilometres over some rough terrain. The disparity of signal reports was predictable. Rex's calculated ERP was in excess of 20 kilowatts, while Peter's was a mere 3 kilowatts. Joe declared this to be the first north-south voice contact on the 10 GHz band, with both parties being VK7 licensees. When conditions are favourable, the next attempt might be a trans-bass straight contact. And that's 73 from Peter, VK7PD. Northern News. Amateurs helping amateurs. Over a recent cup of coffee in Launceston, it became apparent that one of our more senior amateurs, Frank, VK7BC, was having trouble getting some wire into the air. A decision was quickly made to offer him a hand. The problem was to get a lanyard into the upper regions of a rather large Monterey cypress growing in Frank's yard. The following Tuesday, a motley crew of three, Alan, VK7AN, Ross, VK7ALH, and Peter, VK7PL, turned up at Frank's doorstep to solve the issue. Ross produced his secret weapon, a pneumatic launcher borrowed from Cliff, VK7CH. This contraption, fashioned from high-pressure PVC pipe, is charged up with a compressor and can easily launch a tennis ball attached to a length of fishing line to a height of 30 metres or so. After two or three attempts, a line was securely in place, and shortly after that, a heavier lanyard had been hauled up ready for the antenna to be attached at a later date. In less than an hour, the chore was completed, and we were all enjoying a hot cup of coffee, proving that what can be a difficult issue for one person can be easily accomplished with a little help from friends. And that's cheers for now from Peter, VK7PL. Northern Tasmanian Amateur Radio Club. We begin this week by wishing everyone a happy Easter, with plenty of relaxation and hopefully some radio enjoyment. For those of us that are on the roads, please drive carefully and also watch out for the folk in blue and also the photographic and or the microwave QSL Bureau. Some of our stalwarts will be hard at work at Santorina Park, Scottsdale, over the Easter break. providing safety radio communications and related services to the Eastern Marathon Equine Endurance Ride. I dare say by the time this broadcast goes to air, most of us will be feeling a little sleep deprived and looking forward to getting back to comfortable home beds tonight after two nights in the field. Hopefully, the Easter Bunny still will have managed to find us, although if the season at Scottsdale has been anything like the one here in the Northern Midlands this year, we may have difficulty picking out from all the others hopping about. We'll bring you a report on the event next week. Roundup of the April Special and General Meetings. Wednesday, 12 April, saw 34 NTARC Inc. members attend the Special General Meeting and the following regular monthly general meeting. President Idris VK7ZIR declared the SGM open at the scheduled 7:30 start, and the members present quickly proceeded to consider the changes proposed to the three of the club's rules. These had been tabled and explained at the March general meeting, in addition to having been subsequently emailed or mailed to all financial, along with description of their effects that is required under our rules. It was pleasing to note that even with that early exposure, the proposal still generated some discussion on the night before being put to the vote. Much of that discussion took the form of questioning aimed at fuller understanding, although some revolved around whether the proposed change to membership admission requirements went far enough. In the end, members were happy to proceed with the amendment as drafted. I'm pleased to report that the amendments were adopted by a vote of 33 in favour, with one apparent abstention. The changes will now be submitted to the Registrar in Hobart for approval, at which point they will take immediate effect. We then moved into the general meeting, which followed our standard meeting agenda. It proved a straightforward affair with no agenda items attracting any unusual discussion or debate. Idris was therefore able to declare the meeting closed at 8:30 p.m. I will get the minutes of both meetings prepared as soon as possible after Easter and up onto the Yahoo group for the benefit of members. With formal proceedings behind us, the meeting then divided into two groups, with one remaining in the big hall to ready supper and continue with the general catch-up and socialising, while the more technically minded retired to the smaller hall to take in Kevin, VK7HKN, and Bill, VK7MX's presentation on the Bitex projects. Fortunately, the fact that both halls are heated by wood fires and that Roz had lit both well in advance of proceedings meant that both groups were equally comfortable on what proved to be a cool evening. The Bitex talk had originally been conceived as a show-and-tell session, but it morphed into a fairly detailed presentation. The boys divided the topic between them, or as they described it, with Kevin doing the showing and Bill doing the telling. Bill led off with the PowerPoint presentation establishing the correct pronunciation of BITX as Bitex, introducing the designer Ashar Farhan VU3ESE from far-off Hyderabad in India, and taking the group briefly through the history of the projects. He followed that with a description of the evolution of the various Bitex HF designs and then introduced us to the design concepts and in particular the bidirectional amplifier that is the heart of all these derivatives, including the recently announced MicroBitex multiband. Bill then briefly covered the SI5315A based Arduino controlled Raduino, a combined digital VFO and LCD display module, which had joined the Bitex stable around Christmas 2016. This had overcome the frequency stability issue inherent in the original VCO-based VFO design. Bill then provided members with some useful sources for further information, including the existence of an extremely active international users group on groups.io. Before handing over to Kevin, Bill demonstrated the Bitex 40 module, together with its accompanying Raduino as delivered from India in its plastic lunchbox, and drew attention to the incredible value represented by its $59 asking price, which includes postage. You are listening to VK7WI, and this is the VK7 Regional News Broadcast. Kevin then introduced his extremely neatly packaged Bitex 40 and described the various issues he had encountered in getting it successfully on air, including the modifications he has made. His version was a pre-Raduino release, so much of his early effort was directed towards overcoming the problem of VCO drift, although he has modified the audio stages to produce a more pleasing outcome. He went on to describe the various further modifications he is addressing, including the use of an OLED equipped and very tiny DDS instead of the Raduino. All of these had meant that the very neat case purchased some months ago at the club from the items bequeathed by the late Colin Fuller, VK7ZCF, can no longer house all the additions, so a larger case is now required. He and Bill had become aware, again through the active Bitex group.io forum, of a neat plastic instrument case of close to ideal size, available at the cheap price of just $11.50, including postage, from an AliExpress seller in China, so had ordered some. Fortuitously, these had arrived the day before our meeting, so Kevin was able to add that to his show items. Both speakers stressed the very useful introduction to both homebrew and QRP operation afforded by the Bitex 40, stressing that the availability of a pre-assembled RF and audio module at this price greatly enhances the prospect of the builder getting his or her radio on air. At the same time, it also affords an incredible learning opportunity, both in terms of initial wiring up of controls, inputs, outputs, etc., its commissioning on air, and then in a seemingly endless array of modifications and enhancements, including active DDS, VFOs and displays, digital modes, CAT controls, etc., etc. Details of these are appearing daily on the Bitex group. They concluded with the observation that if QRO is not of interest, then the fact that the PA stage can be separately powered means that a higher voltage, say around 25 volts, will produce outputs of around 20 watts. If still further output power is required, then different PA devices can be employed, such as the popular Hitachi RF MOSFET devices. Similarly, for the purists among us, they assured all that there was no need to purchase the Bitex 40 modules, cheap though they are. Asher, VU3ESE, had always made all his design details freely available, and he continued with that policy with the release of the Raduino DDS. This includes the required Arduino code, which is available for free download, as indeed are many other alternative Arduino sketches for this VFO, each offering different variations and controls, etc. It is therefore entirely possible to scratch build a Bitex, as indeed had been all of the prototypes, including the forthcoming Micro Bitex. In all, a fascinating presentation, which left many still talking about the Bitex prospects throughout the sumptuous supper which followed, when both groups again combined. Our thanks to Kevin and Bill for a very interesting introduction to the Bitex phenomenon, which is sweeping the homebrew and QRP worlds, and to also alerting us to developments coming from VU land. It was a surprising discovery that more traditional homebrew radio is still active in that rapidly developing economic powerhouse country. Our thanks also to our lady members who again turned on a magnificent supper. Further equine event. No sooner will we have completed our commitments at Scottsdale this weekend than it will be time to gear up for the next safety communications event. We have once again been asked to provide safety comms for the Lockhart Challenge to be held at Labrinna on Saturday 27 of May. For all you locals, this is a handy event to pop out and assist, as it's a one-day ride. So, think about it, and if interested in assisting, Norm, VK7KTN, NTARC Safety Communications Coordinator, would love to hear from you. Expressions of interest. We are running this again to see how many more members would be interested in attending an antenna building class. 5 having registered interest to date. This one will be considerably different to our previous efforts. This time we will take a huge leap into the unknown and learn how to make a 1296 Yagi. If you have been listening to the broadcast over the past many months, you will be aware that there is now a weekly 1296 MHz QSO party that follows on immediately after the callbacks each Sunday. Regular features include some north to south QSOs and indeed in the reverse direction, just proving that the 42nd parallel is no barrier to physics. If you are lucky enough to have suitable equipment, you may have already listened in or indeed taken part. In an effort to still further boost participation, we thought a 1296 MHz Yagi building class might be a good idea. What do you think? Why not give it some thought and then contact Kevin, VK7HKN, on email on Kevin, VK7HKN, that's all one word, Kevin, VK7HKN, @gmail.com, to register your interest. Once we have a better idea of likely final members, we can then set a date and source supplies, etc. We again thank Rex, VK7MO, who has kindly lent us his notes and assembly jigs, etc. That should give this antenna building class a flying start. The jig and a completed Yagi were on display in the clubroom during last Wednesday evening's Bitex session and attracted considerable interest at its close. If you would like an early awareness of the design and the building effort required, why not take a look at a forthcoming coffee morning? Now, education classes. If you are interested in sitting for a foundation license or an upgrade to an either standard or advanced license, or perhaps know of somebody who is, then please let NTARC Inc. know. Our education officer and WIA accredited assessor Peter, VK7PD, along with fellow assessor Bill, VK7MX, both ably assisted by our learning facilitator Idris, VK7ZIR, are looking for aspiring candidates for assessment. The club room is well equipped with a radio room, and even though the weather is cooling down, Hearth Vader can be put into action to heat up the room. Kitchen facilities are available for students for a minimal gold coin donation each session to assist in the ongoing running costs. Now, coffee mornings. A reminder that our twice weekly coffee sessions are normally Monday and Friday, but with Easter break up upon us, and tomorrow being Easter Monday, we will be closed that day. Normal coffee sessions will resume on Friday, the 21st of April. Please remember that aside from the good company and fare on offer, these coffee events are normally a good opportunity to collect your QSL cards, but at the moment we have no cards awaiting collection. Please demonstrate your appreciation of all the effort that goes into operating the club and its facilities by joining us at these sessions, enjoying the coffee, the company and the cake, and leaving a gold coin or two or even a small banknote in the jar to assist in our ongoing operations. And finally, a reminder to all members that if you have any items of news you would like added to the weekly roundup, then please email the secretary at ntarc.net. I'll say again, secretary at ntarc.net. As always, I look forward to seeing you at Rocha Lee, and that's 73 from Yvonne, VK7FYMX, Secretary NTARC Inc. You are listening to VK7WI, and this is the VK7 Regional News Broadcast. Southern News, Radio and Electronics Association of Southern Tasmania, Inc. ADS-B, station in South. Tony, VK7VKT, took possession this week of a complimentary FlightAware Raspberry Pi ADS-B decoder supplied by FlightAware, along with a 600mm 1090 MHz antenna and accessories. FlightAware are actively seeking out persons wishing to host a ground station. The cost is zero. They have several persons in the state volunteering their data for various devices, but are keen on achieving MLAT accuracy by way of having more of the custom devices as ground stations in areas lacking. A free T-shirt was also part of the deal, Hi-Hi. Check out their website for further information. And that's 73 from Tony, VK7VKT. 23cm QSO Party. Last weekend, VK7's TW, ZMS, KAJ, TU, ZBX and MO participated from Hobart. It was good to see Joe, VK7JG, on again from Launceston. Joe worked into Hobart on JT65C, QRAC and SSB. We continue today as normal, and that's 73 from Rex, VK7MO. FSQ, Friday's Net. The number of people joining in the FSQ Friday party on 2 metres and 40 metres has been growing. While some of us are still having issues configuring their software to work properly with their rig, it is encouraging to see more people joining in. Friday 14th's net, we heard from 8 stations in VK7. FSQ Friday start at 8 p.m. on 145.225 MHz USB, and then we move to 7.105 MHz USB at 8:30 p.m. If you need help configuring your station, join our online chat channel, and the link is provided in the email edition of the broadcast. Cellar Dwellers, on the go, upcoming book release. The sequel to the MF Down Under book, edited by David Doc Wescombe Down, VK5BUG, is being released on the 20th of May 2017. At over 240 pages, in 15 chapters, it has 25 articles by 12 authors about operating on 2200 metres, 630 metres and 160 metres away from home. It is full of resources, links, shared info, projects, hints, LFMF reception and transmission, transportable versus portable, antenna and earth systems, propagation, power supplies, station assembly and is a veritable LFMF toolbox. If you are interested in joining a club group buy of this book, please contact Scott, VK7LXX, by email, and that's the secretary at reist.asn.au. I repeat, secretary at reist.asn.au to register your interest. We were able to see a preview copy of this fine document at the last Satellite Experimenters Club, thanks to Justin, VK7TW, who brought along his contributor's copy. And that's 73 from Scott, VK7LXX. May presentation night. Have your frequent shopper card ready, Hi-Hi. It's another 2-for-1 offer. It will be on May the 3rd from 7:30 p.m. and will feature a presentation from Larry, the VK7WLH, who is using a very impressive near-field communication technology and tagging system for his business, similar to PayWave or PayPass, but with a different goal. Our specific goal is to confirm to the consumer that the product is authentic, not counterfeit, and while doing this, we can track other market factors. Then Scott, VK7LXX, will give us a presentation on his FSQ beacon development. As heard above, FSQ is a new weak signal digital chat mode designed for HF, and there is a weekly net on Friday evenings on 2 metres, then 40 metres. Thanks, Larry and Scott. Mark your diary now, Queen's Domain Clubrooms. Satellite Experimenters Night. Wow, a huge night of experimenting. Lasers, software, discussion, lasers, configuration, EME, lasers, SDRs, Linux, lasers. Oh, and did I mention lasers? They are cool. A huge roll-up, and we welcomed back Leo and Magai, who came along to the Dish Forum last week. Justin, VK7TW, and Scott, VK7LXX, worked on getting GPredict working for the FT817 interface, and Scott found that FLDigi worked with the interface using Justin's SkyWave Linux notebook. Initially thinking it was a SkyWave issue, Scott tried it on the club's Linux kiosk, and it was the same. By accident, he came across a setting that specifically covered the FT817, FT857, and the FT897, and once this was selected, then the interface started working. On you, Scott. Justin bought in some new green laser modules, one in a laser light show that uses three spinning mirrors to create a range of interesting effects. The other handheld laser was used to demonstrate the particulate matter that is present in the air and how these units are used for astronomical pointing. Ben, VK7BEN, and a group headed out to the club radio and started decoding RTTY and WSJT on 40 metres as the band was wide open. Murray, VK7ZMS, Larry, VK7WLH, and Rex, VK7MO, were deep in conversation about all things EME. Our club project is taking shape and will be announced soon once some VNA tests are undertaken to make sure it can perform across the range of frequencies, so watch this space. This week, we will be heading out to hopefully make some satellite contacts now that we have a working automated Doppler shift RX and TX system, along with the usual show-and-tell, although Justin may have withdrawal symptoms as his favourite shop was closed on Good Friday. Hi-hi. See you this Wednesday night, and keep an eye on the Reist TAS Facebook events page for more details. And that's 73 from Justin, VK7TW. Now, regular VK7 gatherings and events over the coming months. Regular gatherings. NTARC, Monday and Friday coffee sessions from 10 a.m. in the club rooms at Archer Street, Rochalie, Launceston. Reist, Wednesday afternoon group meets from noon, then the Satellite Experimenters Night from 7:30 p.m. in the Queen's Domain club rooms in Hobart. Reist, 23cm QSO party followed after this Sunday broadcast on 1296.1 MHz FM, then moved to 1296.2 MHz JT65 in the Greater Hobart area. Events. Reist, May the 3rd, Near Field Communications RF Devices with VK7WLH and FSQ Beacons with VK7LXX. That's the Queen's Domain Club Rooms from 7:30 p.m. And WIA, May 20, the Annual General Meeting at Harndorf in VK5. If you are interested in becoming an amateur radio operator or upgrading your license, then we suggest you contact your local club for details and or take a look at what the Radio and Electronics School has to offer. They have a range of courses that can be delivered through a variety of methods, and they can be found at www.res.net.au. A reminder to those people rostered for next week's broadcast, the newsreader is VK7TW, repeaters Reist, NTARC, and NWTR and TVG. On 80 metres, there'll be VK7TW, 40 metres VK7RO, 20 metres VK7TPE, and 10 metres VK7JGD. And this broadcast is repeated on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7RTC and VK7RAK in the south, VK7RAA in the north, and VK7RTV and VK7RDR in the northwest. So a very big thank you to all the people and organisations that assisted with this broadcast. And that concludes our VK7 Regional News broadcast for this week. You have been listening to or just missed VK7WI. Next week, the WIA news can be heard at 0900, followed by the regional news at 0930 hours. Items for the broadcast can be emailed to VK7 Regional News and Broadcast Coordinator Justin, VK7TW, and he's on vk7tw@wia.org.au. I repeat, vk7tw@wia.org.au. Further information about the broadcast can be found at the VK7 Regional News Yahoo group. And the deadline for items is 2100 on Friday prior to the Sunday broadcast. VK7WI is now closing, but will reopen shortly for callbacks and relay reports. Callbacks will be taken on the frequency to which you are listening, and relay stations will use their own call sign during the callback. For the VK7 Regional News, it is a very good morning and a happy Easter from Alvin, VK7 ADQ.